Did it seem a little strange to sing Alleluia just now? Let's go over that little ritual dialogue we just had. I said the gospel of the Lord, and you sang Alleluia. In essence, immediately after we heard Jesus proclaim his intent to set the planet on fire and divide families, to be the beginning point of tremendous strife and struggle, I said words that basically mean in plain English, did you hear that? Isn't that some great good news? And you said, sounds good to me. How is that good news? Doesn't sound that nice on the face of it, does it? Well, let's go a little deeper. One of my favorite preachers shocked me very deeply one day. This was in my early adulthood, so it was like a long time ago, when I was searching for an adult understanding of faith in my own life. This priest said, "You are welcome to search as long and as hard as you want to, but you will not find the word nice in any of the Gospels." That was not comforting to me at that point. But he was right, and we should be grateful and rejoice. Nice is the way we introduce our toddlers to religion. The very youngest of our children can understand at the level of knowing that they are in a safe place when they are in the company of God. And it's true, and it's nice, but it's not an adult full understanding of faith or of God. If your faith as an adult seems to be empty or irrelevant, maybe it's because you haven't moved very far past nice in your understanding of God. We need, as adults, the reality of the whole God to help us through the struggles that life brings us as adults. Those struggles are real. They are, in many, many ways, really life and death struggles, and they require a mature and ever-deepening faith. An adult faith must be ever deepening, because if we let God, God will go to the deepest point within each one of us, because that's where God is. In today's gospel, Jesus says his message will call forth struggle at the most basic level. Father, son, mother, daughter. And we should all somehow rejoice at this news. In the second reading from Hebrews today, the author says, we have within ourselves a massive and ultimately consequential clash. He calls it a foot race. This clash between our human brokenness and our call to be both followers and messengers of the risen Christ. And we should be encouraged? Yes, we should be encouraged. Why? Here's one answer. We should be encouraged and rejoice because the struggle is happening. That means we are not abandoned to the darkness. That means we are not sentenced to face our brokenness without hope and without help. And we are assured that ultimately what will be left of us is perfect. When I say perfect, what that means is we will have become our true and complete human selves, children of God. Jesus is starting a fire of passion for the good, of passion for compassion, passion for the life-giving, for things that are accessible in this life that are of eternal value, of eternal life. That's the fire. Of course he would say, how I wish it were already blazing. If it's not, it's only because we have held it back. In Matthew's gospel, there is this beautiful parable of the weeds growing up in the wheat field along with the wheat. And the servants come to the master and say, let us pull out the weeds. And the master says, no, don't. Let the weeds and the wheat grow together. He's saying, let the weeds stay because I don't want you to accidentally pull out the wheat. We need the wheat to feed us. Have confidence, the master says, when the time comes, I'll take care of the weeds. It's kind of like our lives together. We are weeds and wheat with shoes. And again, at the end of this parable, Jesus gives us the image of fire as the purifying element. But fire gives us more than a consuming heat. Fire also gives us light. We have these striking images today. Jeremiah gets tossed in the mud of a cistern underground for speaking truth during a war between the Israelites and the Babylonians. The author of Hebrews images this foot race within ourselves. And Jesus tells us of war within families coming from the fire that he means to start within us. All these images are not meant merely to cause fear and somehow trick us into a particular behavior. Rather, the images are here to shed light. And with that light, we can see truth more clearly. Truth about ourselves, about our individual need for God's love and God's mercy. The strife between serving the temporary and serving the eternal. The strife within ourselves, within our families, and within our greater society. All this is productive strife if we take it with the same love with which it is given to us. We do have access in this life to glimpses of the eternal, that which does not decay and die. And with practice, our little glimpses, with practice, can be increased. With our increased willingness to pay the temporary worldly cost to achieve these glimpses, they can stretch out and become the dominant part of our life here and now. We do have to endure the heat of the flame, the pain of being purified from our individual or collective misdeeds, selfishness, fear, sin. We endure the heat of the fire in order to see by the light it produces. And when we do, we glimpse that state of being we call heaven. The 14th century Dominican Saint Catherine of Siena said it beautifully. She said, all the way to heaven is heaven. As you join our communion procession today, I want to invite you into a walking prayer. Make every step you take a step closer to the flame of Christ. Let his flame begin to consume what doesn't belong. Let his flame give you the light to see the destination to which you are called, to which we are all called, and you will get there. You see, this communion really is a preparation and a part of the way to the great communion to which you are invited.